Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host, Michael Brown.
Brownie! No.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Broadcasting live from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you joining the program today. Rules of engagement, you know, as usual, pretty easy. If you want to tell me anything or ask me anything, on the text line, the number on your message app is 33103. 33103. Just use the keyword Mike or Michael. Do me a favor. Follow me on X or Instagram or Facebook. They're all at Michael D. Brown. Go follow me on X right now, at Michael D. Brown. There's a rule in criminal law that every good trial lawyer would know. When the evidence is strong, the prosecution will present that evidence very loudly and clearly. If the evidence is damaging, the defense will try to bury it through procedure, delays in discovery, and hope the jury never connects the dots. Throw up the smoke screen. For 4 years, 4 years now, the American intelligence community ran the most sophisticated document burial operation probably since, I don't know, Watergate. And it wasn't to protect our national security. It was to protect a political outcome. The target wasn't a foreign adversary. The target was a sitting president of the United States of America. Who was the foreign adversary? What about them? They got a pass. So let's start with what we know now and what we've been told to forget. Let's start with the facts as they now stand, because the facts are pretty damning. In January of 2021, the outgoing director of national intelligence, a guy by the name of John Ratcliffe, attached a letter to the intelligence community assessment on foreign threats regarding the 2020 election. Now, this was not a casual note. This wasn't a memo. This was a formal, official finding from the nation's top intelligence officer. Now, you may recall that at the time, John Ratcliffe was the director of national intelligence. This is January of 2021. Biden's coming in. John Ratcliffe, the DNI for Trump, is going out. Ratcliffe is now the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. So back to that letter of January 2021. Ratcliffe stated unambiguously that Communist China, quote, sought to influence the 2020 U.S. federal elections to undermine Donald Trump, close quote. Let me read you that again. The director of national intelligence, the guy that sat atop all 17 agencies of the American intelligence apparatus, the position that Tulsi Gabbard currently holds, concluded that China ran an active influence operation against a sitting president in a federal election. Now, the letter was published. It was unclassified. It's been in plain sight all this time. And it was promptly framed by the cabal, by the mainstream press, as a fringe minority view. And, of course, then it got buried under the avalanche of what? January 6th. I don't know if that was an accident. I really don't know if that was an accident. Now, I'm not wearing a tinfoil hat today. And I'm not asking you to put a tinfoil hat on either. And I'm not saying that necessarily everything changed in the outcome of an election. I want you to focus on the letter. Because the letter says that the Chinese Communist Party actively interfered in the election. It's not an accident that that letter got buried. But here's where it gets worse. And here's where it gets actually very more specific. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence has a role called the Analytic Ombudsman. Now, the Analytic Ombudsman was created under the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act, which is one of these post-9/11 reforms, kind of like the Patriot Act. And it was designed specifically to serve as an independent watchdog against exactly the kind of politicized, biased, or inconsistently applied intelligence analysis that led us to miss threats before 9/11. The man in that role in 2021, the Analytic Ombudsman, was a guy by the name of Barry Zuloff. I'm not sure whether I'm pronouncing it correctly or not. It's spelled Z-U-L-A-U-F, Zuloff. Now, before I go any further, I want to make sure you understand what this is. This is a position that was created post 9/11, which was in 2001. Probably passed at the same time the Homeland Security Act passed in 2002, became effective in 2003. Now, what I'm talking about now is a letter that was drafted, published in 2021. So we've had an analytic ombudsman like Barry Zuloff, or Zuloff, for a couple of decades now. And here's what he did, as any ombudsman would. He completed an internal review of how the CIA's analysts had handled Chinese election interference evidence. What he found, I think, should have been front page news for at least 6 months running. According to this report, some intelligence analysts had deliberately downplayed the evidence of Chinese interference because, and these are the words attributed to their own private admissions, they didn't want their work used by, and I quote, that vulgarian in the Oval Office, close quote. Who's that vulgarian in the Oval Office at the time that these analysts were reviewing the Chinese evidence? That these analysts were reviewing the Chinese evidence? Donald Trump. So in their own words, they didn't want their work to be used by that vulgarian in the Oval Office to justify a harder line against Beijing. They didn't want it used to justify a hard line against Beijing. The number one competitor to the United States to be the world superpower. Now think about what that means. What that means is career intelligence professionals, people who hold the highest security clearances in the United States, security clearances like I held, who took an oath to provide objective analysis that would be free from political bias, admitted privately that they sat on evidence because they didn't like the president. Isn't that exactly a violation of their oath to provide objective analysis free from political bias? I think that it's absolutely a violation of their oath. Now, Zuloff's core finding was this. If you're taking notes, here's what I'd write down. The intelligence community was applying fundamentally different standards to Russian and Chinese election activities. Russian activities, and you know, I mean, foreign countries all the time are spying on us. Everybody spies on everybody. And everybody kind of actively interferes, some more so than others, in everybody's elections. You don't think that we interfere in other people's elections, then you're being naive. Now, we don't do anything to try to, you know, upend an election, but we might try a little bit to steer an election a certain way. Planting news stories, releasing selective intelligence. Well, the Russian and the Chinese do that with us. So Zuloff, the analytic ombudsman's core finding was simply this. The intelligence community was applying fundamentally different standards to Russian and Chinese election activities. How was that happening? Well, I'm going to explain that to you. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text lines open, 33103. Keyword Michael Michael. I'll be right back.
So my friends over at Pure Talk have been sending me customer feedback from ConsumerAffairs.com, where thousands of people rate and review the top wireless providers. Here, for instance, is a nice note from James in Raleigh, North Carolina, who writes, quote, "After hearing Mike Rowe's ad, we made the switch to Pure Talk, and we couldn't be happier. We went from spending $1,200 a year with T-Mobile to $420 with Pure Talk. Thanks, Mike. Switch today! Exclamation point. Pure Talk is saving James $820 a year. And because he literally wrote the words, switch today, in capital letters, with an exclamation point, I'm going to go ahead and dedicate this commercial to him. So folks, take it from James in Raleigh, North Carolina. Pure Talk can give you unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $25 a month on the same 5G service the big guys are overcharging you for. Just dial #250, say Mike Rowe. You'll also save 50% off your first month. That's #250 to save an additional 50%. Thanks, James.
At Plumas Bank, we understand business because we've grown alongside you in the communities we call home. We're proud to grow in Redding and excited to welcome Anderson and Red Bluff to the Plumas Bank family. With our new locations, your business gains expanded lending powers, more convenient locations, and more than 40 years of trusted community banking experience. Plumas Bank, building stronger communities. Learn more at PlumasBank.com.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavors. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Premier Oil Change is celebrating 20 years of our friendly oil changes. A lot has changed in 20 years, but our commitment to fast, friendly, excellent service has remained the same. To celebrate our 20th birthday, we're offering $20 off any oil change. All you have to do is go to our website at PremierOilChange.com and receive your gift. In Redding, check out our new location at 905 East Cypress. Discount also available at our Lake Boulevard, Anderson, and Palisadro locations.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
This is Colonel Danny Gilman, the host of Front Lines of Freedom, the nation's largest military news and talk radio show. We address the most pressing issues facing the security of our nation, our armed forces, our veterans, and their families. Please join us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio show.
Spring is almost here, so wake up that garden and get growing with Grange Co-op's Spring Roundup Sale, happening now through March 29th. Jump on big-time savings. Buy two, get one free blueberries, 20% off vegetable jumbo packs, and score three free chicks per family when you buy a 40 or 50-pound bag of Rogue poultry feed. From fresh blooms to happy pets, Grange Co-op has everything you need to kick off the season right. Swing by Grange Co-op at 55 Lake Boulevard in Redding, or shop online at GrangeCoop.com.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff, with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Hey, so speaking with Michael Brown, glad to have you joining the program. Do me a favor, if you'd like to, if you like what we do on the weekend, then you really ought, on your iHeart app, you ought to stream and listen to the weekday program. It's real easy to do. So you could, on your iHeart app, set a preset for this station, KOA, KOA, just like the campground. It's at 850 AM, 94.1 FM. you hit that as a preset, and then you can listen live Monday through Friday on that station from 9 to noon Mountain Time. So go set your preset on your iHeart app for KOA, 850 AM, 94.1 FM, and you can listen to me during the week. So back to this analytic ombudsman and the idea that they've admitted that they were applying different standards to Russian and Chinese election activities. The Russian actions were labeled as interference. The exact identical or at least comparable Chinese actions got softened. They got minimized, or they simply weren't included in the formal intelligence assessments. Now, let me just tell you, that's not analysis. That's not let's just use the word spy. That's not a spy looking at something analytically and saying to their supervisor, hey, this is what I believe is going on. That's analysis. What they're doing is advocacy. And when your advocacy, particularly in the intelligence community, serves a foreign communist government at the expense of your own country's election integrity, that has a name and it's not very flattering. Now, there was an institutional heist because the bureaucracy always defends itself. The bureaucracy is like a reptile, and it has these built-in defense mechanisms. And anytime they feel like they're being attacked, those defense mechanisms get deployed, and they do everything they can to keep anybody on the outside from seeing what they're doing. Well, John Ratcliffe, the Director of National Intelligence, didn't go quietly. He tried to get his findings, this letter, formally distributed before he left office on January 20th of 2021. What happened instead is a case study in how bureaucratic obstruction can actually function when the goal is to suppress and not reveal. This is the bureaucracy acting as the reptile, putting up its defenses. So here's the sequence of events. Ratcliffe completed his assessment in the final days of his tenure. That was all amid that post-January 6 chaos. The career officials at the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, which he was the head of, but these are the career people, many of them were hostile to the conclusion that China had interfered at all. So they refused to attach his dissenting letter to the public version of the intelligence report with equal formal weight. What they did, they controlled the classification stamps. Now, what do I mean by that? Every page, every document that is part of an intelligence briefing gets a classification stamp. If you've never seen one, imagine a typical 8.5x11 sheet of paper. It's first put in a cover. And the cover will tell you that that is a classified document by the markings. And it will tell you what the classification is. It might be something like top secret SCI, special compartmentalized information, one of the highest classifications of all. But then when you open the document, when you open the cover and you start reading, for example, the letter or the briefing, every paragraph is indented, and over to the left, on the left side, is a marking of that particular paragraph. So some paragraphs may be unclassified because it's just giving you some basic information, basic background information that came from public sources, a newspaper, a television report, whatever it might be. But then the analysis in the next paragraph will have a classification bearing on that. So that's what I mean when they controlled the classification stamps. They controlled the processing pipeline. They could delay, they could redraft, and they could effectively manage the findings and do it all outside public view. They could also do it outside the review of the actual Director of National Intelligence. Because these are in the waning days. He's got a bazillion things to do, and he's trying to wrap things up and move out so the new one can move in. This is how the administrative state, or as some people refer to it, the deep state, this is how it works when it wants to make something disappear. It doesn't shred the documents. It doesn't hold them, you know, till midnight meetings, it just stamps things secret. It'll bog them down in interagency coordination. Because if it involves another agency, every agency has to go off and prove, you know, the wording and the language and the classification. And then they wait for the clock to run out. And on January 20th, 2021, at 12:01 p.m., the clock ran out. The incoming Biden administration's new Director of National Intelligence, someone by the name of Avril Haines, released the official declassified summary of the election intelligence assessment in March. The headline conclusion? Just the opposite of what John Ratcliffe had said. Avril Haines concluded that China did not deploy interference efforts. It's the exact opposite of what both the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, and the analytic ombudsman, Zuloff, had found. But by then, Trump was out of office. The media had moved on, and nobody was paying any attention. The dissenting findings weren't formally declassified until Freedom of Information Act lawsuit and press pressure later year, you know, way several years later, forced them into daylight. Now, the analytic ombudsman, Mr. Zuloff, himself eventually discussed the controversy in a podcast and in an academic publication, confirming on the record what the internal documents showed. So the evidence that they didn't want you to see, let's talk about that. What exactly was China doing that warranted these alarm bells that John Ratcliffe was trying to set off and that justified the analytic ombudsman's finding? What was it that warranted differential treatment? Well, the documented record assembled from Department of Justice indictments, subsequent intelligence disclosures, and some basic investigative reporting paints a really comprehensive picture of what was going on. There was cyber espionage at scale. 2023 and 2024, the Department of Justice indictments against members of what's called APT 31. That's Advanced Persistent Threat 31. What the hell's that, you say? Well, that's a Chinese state-sponsored hacking unit directly tied to the Ministry of State Security's Hubei State Security Department in Wuhan. Yes. So APT 31, they've been indicted by the current Department of Justice. Those indictments made clear that Chinese government operatives had systematically targeted the Trump administration officials starting in 2020. That included intrusions into networks connected to the White House, the State Department, the Treasury Department, and the Justice Department. They weren't doing fishing expeditions. It was a coordinated intelligence collection effort directed at the sitting American government during an election year. Just sit on that. Think about it. I'll be right back.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
LifeLock, how can I help?
The IRS said I filed my return.
But I haven't.
One in four tax-paying Americans has paid the price of identity fraud.
What do I do?
My refund, though.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, I can fix this.
LifeLock fixes identity theft guaranteed and gets your money back with up to $3 million in coverage.
I'm so relieved.
No problem. I'll be with you every step of the way.
One in four was a fraud-paying American. Not anymore. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Maria Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
Shasta Lake and neighboring friends, the Queen of Dragons has your back with premium products at prices that work for you. As the longest standing dispensary in the area, our local team knows exactly what you need. Our shelves are stocked with the freshest flower in town. From our premium, fresh, and local line to our budget-friendly options featuring Emerald Junkies and Tricana Boys. Don't miss our famous Flower Friday deals. Top quality at unbeatable prices. And for the green thumbs out there, clones are now in store for the growing season. Join our Dragons Reward program and earn points with every purchase. Stop by 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake or call us for delivery at 530-276-9771 or check out our menu at thequeenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons, premium offerings, unbeatable value just for you.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Join us for a live jazz concert at Shasta College, March 27th at 7:30 p.m. Enjoy an evening of dynamic rhythms and classic jazz standards. Tickets are $15 general admission, $10 for seniors and wheelchair accessible, $5 for students with ID. For more information, go to shastacollege.edu/artsevents.
The only real estate agent I trust right here in Redding and Shasta County is Josh Barker with Josh Barker Real Estate. Now, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
Now, for someone that needs to move quickly or something like a job transfer, well, what steps can you take to make sure that their home gets sold fast and for the most money?
Sean, that is an excellent question. We actually have three ways that we'll approach that. One is we actually as an office have what's called an instant offer. So if you need it sold fast, we can do it really fast. But the truth is if you want to maximize your selling price and get done quickly, then it actually means that you're going to want to sit down, identify a marketing plan, talk about what to do to prep your home for sale, and then be really clear on two things, your time frame and the price. Because those two things merging together is ultimately going to equal your outcome. So having that kind of conversation in advance will go a long ways.
All right. Thanks for keeping us up to date. Go online to ReddingHomes.com or just Google Josh Barker.
Got something to say, but nowhere to say it? KCNR Talk Radio can turn your ideas into a professional podcast that's heard across the North State and beyond. From concept to recording, KCNR's local team makes it simple for businesses, nonprofits, and community voices to launch their own show, stand out, be heard, and build your own audience with KCNR Podcast Services. Call 530-605-4567. Or visit kcnrradio.com to get started today.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
He's the former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie.
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Hey, welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I appreciate everybody tuning in. do me a favor and subscribe to the podcast. On your podcast app, it's very easy. Just search for the name of this program, The Situation with Michael Brown. The Situation with Michael Brown. Once you hit that, once you find it, hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star review, and then that'll do two things for you. That will download all 5 days of the weekday program and the weekend program, so you get all the programming that I do Monday through Saturday. So we're talking about this Chinese influence. You notice I'm not calling it interference. I'm calling it influence. A Chinese influence operation that the current administration, Department of Justice, has indicted what's called APT-31, the Advanced Persistent Threat 31, which is a Chinese state-sponsored hacking unit that's directly linked to the Chinese Communist Party's Ministry of State Security, located in all places in Wuhan, the same place where the Wuhan laboratory is located. So what were they doing? You know, I said on my weekday program, in fact, it was just yesterday, I did a short segment about I've reached the point where everything that I read, even when it comes from Fox News or CNN or MS Now or MS Yesterday or whatever they call it, I look at it with a jaundiced eye. I look at it with a little bit of cynicism. Because there's so much artificial intelligence, there's so much manipulation, there's so much bias in the media, and people tend to sometimes, because of confirmation bias, they'll read something, they'll see something, a video or a short or whatever it might be, a reel, and they'll repost it because it confirms what they want to believe. So even when I see someone that may be somebody famous posting something, I'm still looking at it going, maybe I need to check that out. Maybe I need to ask Grok, or I need to ask, Claude or somebody, is that a real video? Or did that person really say XYZ? Or go on to Gemini with Google or whoever it might do, any of the platforms, and just ask. Or just think for yourself sometimes. The reason I point that out, it's because this influence operation, if you wanted a title for this segment, would be just like troll farms and manufactured narratives. Because if you control people on social media, if you control people even on broadcast television or cable television, or in a newspaper or on a website, that's influential. So there was indeed a Chinese influence operation known as Spamouflage, got it? Not camouflage, Spamouflage. Spamouflage Dragon, also called Dragon Bridge. That was documented flooding American social media platforms, including YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, with content that was specifically designed to amplify the negative coverage of Trump's pandemic response. And then on top of that, promote a narrative of American chaos and dysfunction. What was the operational objective of doing that? Well, as later analysis made clear, it was to cast Biden as a return to stability and normal. I pause because, remember Biden saying things like that? Oh, we're going to bring back stability and we're going to normalize relations between the United States and China. So what the Chinese influencers were doing was taking Biden's own words and making you think that, oh, yes, what was occurring before was abnormal. If you remember Young Frankenstein, it was abnormal. So in plain terms, the Chinese Communist Party was running a covert digital propaganda operation with their preferred candidate in a U.S. election. Now, that's not soft power. That's just pure unadulterated interference. Let's get a specific TikTok. By 2022, now you got to remember, by 2022, we're talking about Biden. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the ODNI, and outside researchers had quietly confirmed what many had suspected. TikTok accounts linked to Chinese Communist Party propaganda infrastructure had been systematically amplifying all the anti-Trump narratives back in 2020. Now, given TikTok's ownership structure and the Chinese national security law's requirement that Chinese companies cooperate with Chinese intelligence demand, whatever the Chinese intelligence services wanted, companies were required to comply with it. This was never particularly surprising. We've known this for decades. But the confirmation of all this matters. So probably the most explosive, and it must be noted, I think, the least independently verified claim in the emerging record, involves a raw FBI intelligence report. What do we mean by raw? No analysis, just a raw report. It described a scheme involving Chinese-produced fraudulent driver's licenses that were allegedly intended to facilitate fraudulent mail-in voting. Then FBI Director Christopher Wray testified to Congress that he had seen no evidence of large-scale foreign voter fraud operations. And let me just say, that may be factually true. Indeed, Christopher Wray may not have seen evidence of a large-scale foreign voter fraud operations. Now, the raw reporting reportedly sat in the system, and it was that they were producing fraudulent driver's licenses intended to facilitate fraudulent mail-in voting. Now, how much of that actually occurred is irrelevant. The fact that it was occurring at all and the fact that they were attempting to do it is what I want you to remember. Congress has since pressed for the disclosure of all of this evidence under Kash Patel's leadership at the FBI. Because all of this that I've just described requires more public documentation before it can really truly be stated as settled fact. But the pattern of suppression and the pattern of influence that it represents is consistent with everything else I've described to you. Now, having said that, there's a bigger indictment. Remember that analytic ombudsman, Mr. Zuloff? He summarized the professional failure with striking clarity. And he wrote this, quote, "Intelligence belongs to the community, not to one analyst. You may like or dislike a leader, but you can't let that shape your analysis." Well, duh, that's the standard. That's what these people swore to uphold. And by their own private admission, some of them violated it deliberately, not out of incompetence, but out of ideological preference for a particular outcome. Here's the core constitutional problem. The intelligence community exists to inform policy. The intelligence community is not supposed to make policy. When an analyst decides that a finding is too politically useful to the wrong president and therefore suppresses it, they have arrogated to themselves a policy-making function they were never granted. They've submitted their own political judgment for the judgment of those elected officials who use their analysis, and then ultimately the American people. Let me just say, that is not a bureaucratic irregularity. That's a subversion of democratic governance. And when the beneficiary of that subversion happens to be a foreign communist government conducting an active influence operation against the United States, the word subversion takes on a second, even darker meaning. So now, understanding all of that, where does this go from here? That's next. I'll be right back.
Attention, business owners. This is Jason Evans. I've spent the last 3.5 decades helping companies create serious business breakthroughs, and I want to help you like never before. I've built a serious training program called 3 Ways to Double Sales in 12 Months. We're going to give this to any business owner that calls us at 800-500-8320. Just call with your email address, and we'll email you this phenomenal video training program at our expense, not yours. It's an incredible gift. See if you agree. 3 Ways to Double Sales in 12 Months. 12 months.
I took Jason's training less than a year ago. This year alone, Jason has made my training explode as far as my sales growth by over 250%. I'm expecting on doing close to $5 to $6 million gross this year just off of his training.
Again, call with your email address and we'll give you a program that others have paid dearly to receive. 800-500-8320. 800-500-8320. That's 800-500-8320. Paid for by Power Sales University.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Oliva Melano Maduro. From the verdant fields of Jalapa, Nicaragua, comes an epic 95-rated cigar, wrapped in a Maduro leaf from San Andres. Expect notes of espresso, anise, and walnut liqueur. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Mandina's Cabinets in Anderson designs custom kitchens, bathrooms, and offices that no big box store can match. They are the local pros who know.
Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros who know. Mandina's Cabinets, the local pros.
530-365-8108 or visit mandinascabinets.com.
Fairly often, I know the editor. It's called Just the News, justthenews.com. John Solomon is the owner of that website. He's a former reporter, a D.C. Capitol reporter, White House reporter. Good guy. John Solomon has now reported on this record in 2026, 5 years after John Ratcliffe, the director of national intelligence, first raised the alarm. So the documents are finally getting a broader public airing. But the question now is whether there are any institutional consequences, whether anybody's going to be called to account, whether the structural vulnerabilities that allowed this to happen are going to be addressed, and whether the American public, you and I, ever get the complete, unvarnished accounting that I believe that this deserves. You know, 5 years is a long time to wait for the truth. But here's the thing about documented evidence. It typically doesn't expire. It could disappear. It could get destroyed. But in our electronic age, you know, people like to say that, well, you know, the internet lives on forever. Well, so do a lot of emails, unless you're Hillary Clinton and you decide to bash it with a hammer. But generally speaking, documented evidence doesn't expire. The John Ratcliffe, the director of national intelligence under Bush, or under Trump, 45, that still exists. The analytic ombudsman, Mr. Zuloff, his report exists. The Department of Justice indictments, they exist. The Spamouflage Dragon Chinese spy and Chinese influence ring, and that documentation exists. So the facts were always there. What was missing was the willingness to follow them wherever they led, including somewhere deeply uncomfortable for those people that spent years insisting there was nothing to see. There was always something to see. They just did not want you looking. They didn't want you to see. So the sources for all of this, in case you want to take notes, there's the John Ratcliffe ODNI letter dated January 2021. It's unclassified. You can do a Google search on it. You can probably find it. Go over to Just the News. Barry Zuloff, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the Analytic Ombudsman Report, it's dated January 2021. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the Intelligence Community Assessment on Foreign Threats to the 2020 Election, that became declassified in March of 2021. The U.S. Department of Justice indictments against APT-31 and all of those Chinese officers. That's from 2023 and 2024. The Stanford Internet Observatory, their documentation of Spamouflage Dragon, the Dragon Bridge operations, and John Solomon and Just the News from 2026. You think about all of those. They're all solid. They're all independently verifiable. The FBI's driver's license report is the one place I'd encourage people to get primary documents in hand and take a look at it, because I think the pattern fits. Now, some of these specifics need verification, but I think most of this can be prosecuted pretty well with the evidence that we have at hand. There is, I mean, if you want to describe it, the core documented elements, the Ratcliffe 2021 letter, the Ombudsman's findings of March of 2021, the Department of Justice's APT-31 indictments, the Spamouflage Dragon, those are all verifiable from public record. And if you go in and do your Google searches right, you can find those documents. The fake driver's license mail-in ballot? Well, the FBI report claim is probably the weakest link in this entire chain. But it's asserted in the source document, but I can't independently verify the very specifics of those. So I've treated it somewhat carefully in this presentation. But everything else that I've done is to the standard of being documented. Now, I want to explain something. Because somebody said something on the text line. Somebody on the text line wrote, let me see if I can find it again. This is Goober number 9823. Mike, you sound like a journalist, one that does investigations and then reports it. No, I'm not. And I want to make clear why I'm not and why I claim not to be. Because I'm not putting anything out there that is, I put my own bias in it. You know that when you tune into this program, that I sit center right of most things. Some people would claim I sit way far over here to the right. And on some issues, I probably am a far right wing nut job. But I'm not trying to prosecute a case here. I'm not trying to win a Pulitzer Prize. What I'm trying to do is to get you to think differently about what you're reading or seeing as you go through your daily life. Whether you're on the social media platforms, you go to particular news sites, whatever it is, I want you to think about this story in this context. When we're told that there's no such thing as Chinese influence or influence in the elections, that is, at its most basic level, just a falsehood. Now, the conclusion that a real investigative reporter would make would take two or three steps further than what I have. For example, let's document. How much did these Chinese operatives, how many driver's licenses did they produce? And how many of those driver's licenses turned into actual fraudulent mail-in ballots? I don't know, because I don't have the time, the money, the energy, or the inclination to spend a lot of time doing that, because I have to produce these basics 6 days a week. But what I'm trying to convince you of is that there's more to this story than you're being told, because the basics here is you're being told that it doesn't exist. And I'm giving you the basics that it does exist, what it means, how influential it was. And, for example, you have not heard me say that this influence operation changed the outcome of an election. Now, my personal opinion is it probably did not. But in a precinct here or a precinct there, it may have changed those results, but it didn't change the overall results. But we're being told that if we believe that this happened at all, then we're the nut jobs. And I just outlined for you, oh, no, there's actual evidence that this did and is occurring. That's the difference between an investigative journalist and a talk show host. So your conclusion from all of this is, oh, when I hear that there was no influence, I can go back and re-listen to the podcast or re-listen to what Michael Brown said on Saturday, March 21st from 10 to 11 Mountain Time and get the conclusion that, oh, it existed. It absolutely existed. I'll be right back.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
I'm Boomer Esiason. My mom died from cancer. She was only 37 years old. She didn't have life insurance, and that was devastating for my family. That's why having life insurance is so important to me. Ethos makes it fast and easy. Get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with no medical exam.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
It's tax season, and at LifeLock, we know you're tired of numbers. But here's a big one you need to hear. Billions. That's the amount of money and refunds the IRS has flagged for possible identity fraud. Now here's another big number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed. One last big number. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com for the threats you can't control. Terms apply.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news at Town Hall. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Israel says its attacks against Iran will increase significantly in the coming week.
Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz says his military will be ramping up attacks on Iran in the coming days. We are determined to continue leading the attack against the Iranian terrorist regime, to behead its commanders and thwart its strategic capabilities until all security threats to the state of Israel and U.S. interests in the region are removed. Katz spoke Saturday hours after President Donald Trump said he was considering winding down military operations in the Mideast.
Even as the Pentagon sends more troops to the Middle East, the president said the U.S. is nearing the end of its war effort. On social media, he wrote that we are getting very close to meeting our objectives as he and his national security team consider winding down the military campaign against Iran. The president's statement came as more warships and Marines were being deployed to the region. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The president says Iran only has one card left to play.
From a military standpoint, all they're doing is clogging up the strait. But from a military standpoint, they're finished.
The administration has unveiled a new framework to guide Congress on AI policy. The administration says it's committed to winning the AI race to usher in a new era of human flourishing, economic competitiveness, and national security for the American people. Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee says there's a lot to consider when regulating AI.
We have to make certain that there are protections in place for children, creators, communities, and conservatives. I call those the four C's when we look at AI policy.
And Senator Marsha Blackburn was interviewed this week by the Salem Radio Network. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You've probably heard all those ads for life insurance. Just a few dollars a day, apply online in minutes, no medical exam. Simple, easy, and cheap, right? Now you're thinking, maybe I should get a quote. Well, smart thinking. Everyone should have life insurance. But here's what they don't tell you. Those few dollars a day rates, they're for young people in perfect health. That's why everyone calls Big Lou the 50 to 60 year old not so perfect candidate. Like you. You take prescription meds and you're overweight. Winner, winner, fried chicken dinner. Well, Big Lou works with life insurance companies that want people like you with no surprises after you apply. In fact, if you're a 50-year-old guy with a few health glitches, Lou could probably find you $1 million of term life coverage for about $200 a month. So, yeah, you need life insurance. But unless you're young and healthy, you gotta call Big Lou, because he's like you. Older, heavier, and on meds, too. Get a quote right now at 800-555-2085. 800-555-2085 or BigLou.com.
A big data center is on its way to Ohio.
The Department of Energy has announced a public-private partnership with SoftBank and AEP Ohio to develop a massive artificial intelligence data center and power complex at a former uranium enrichment site in southern Ohio. The project announced Friday includes a planned 10-gigawatt data center and up to 10 gigawatts of new power generation, most of it fueled by natural gas, along with billions in grid upgrades. Officials say the initiative will create thousands of jobs and support AI growth while keeping electricity costs down. Keith Peters, Washington.
CBS News said Friday it will shut down its storied radio news service after nearly 100 years of operation as the world moves on to digital sources and podcasting. When it went on the air back in 1927, the service became the precursor to the entire network. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. More than 99.999% of the 26 million plus March Madness brackets entered at ESPN have already been busted. It was much the same over at the NCAA's bracket challenge. Only 234 error-free entries remain. Martial arts grandmaster and action star Chuck Norris has passed away.
In a 1993 interview, Morris says he took up martial arts for a reason.
I was a very shy kid growing up, very, timid. By nature, I'm not assertive. So I had to develop that, and I couldn't do that without the confidence that I had gotten from my martial arts training.
In 2010, Norris was already a popular film and TV star, but he had a favorite.
8.5 years on doing the Walker series was probably the most rewarding 8 years of my film career.
While his tough man image became the stuff of legend, Chuck Norris was 86. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Attention veterans. Did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
What does comfort mean to you? At Alliance Heating and Air, we understand your HVAC system is the most important system in your home, affecting everything from air quality to temperature control. That's why everybody calls us, delivering perfect comfort. Invest in year-round comfort with an Alliance tune-up for just $99. Plus, we offer comprehensive maintenance plans starting at $15.95 per month. Remember, everybody calls us at 22-12-642.
Everybody calls us.
I'd like to thank everyone for coming out tonight to the annual Reading Rancheria Community Fund Dinner. Since its start, the Reading Rancheria Community Fund has granted over $4.6 million in support of our community. This year, we celebrated the amazing organizations that we've been able to help with a special surprise bonus award of $10,000 being given out. It is with your help that we will be able to continue the amazing cycle of giving. The annual Reading Rancheria Community Fund Wicked Dinner was brought to you by this station and other proud sponsors.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Hi, everybody. McGraw-Milhaven here, host of America at Night. Tune in each and every weeknight for a late-night conversation. We'll have interesting guests, informative conversations from people who have been there and have done that. Plus, we always have time for you, the listener, because we love late-night conversations. Be sure to tune in every weeknight from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. for the next America at Night with me, McGraw-Milhaven, right here on KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM, your talk radio station.
I'd like to thank everyone for coming out tonight to the annual Reading Rancheria Community Fund Dinner. Since its start, the Reading Rancheria Community Fund has granted over $4.6 million in support of our community. This year, we celebrated the amazing organizations that we've been able to help with a special surprise bonus award of $10,000 being given out. It is with your help that we will be able to continue the amazing cycle of giving. The annual Reading Rancheria Community Fund Wicked Dinner was brought to you by this station and other proud sponsors.
During the Biden administration? Well, the answer is no, or not yet, because I don't know where it's going to go. If you watch West Texas Intermediate crude prices for that, I haven't looked today. Yesterday it was trading above $100 a barrel. Then it dropped down. It was like $98 a barrel. It fluctuates. It always does. So, yes, oil prices were soaring and then backing off and then soaring again. All in the language. Then the headline started speculating that tanker routes through the Strait of Hormuz and global supply shocks and the economic consequences of geopolitical instability in the Middle East were just going to destroy civilization. If you have, in fact, I'm curious. Let me pull my laptop. Let me look over at Drudge, because yesterday Drudge had, they don't have it today. But there was a headline yesterday, something to the effect, well, in the vernacular, the end of the world is near because of what's happening in the Middle East. But interestingly, have you thought about this? There's another narrative that appears almost simultaneously that nobody talks about. According to a lot of commentators, online, broadcast, cable, wherever, the possibility of oil price volatility proves that somehow we have to accelerate the so-called energy transition to renewables. Because if fossil fuels are tied to unstable regions, so goes their argument, then solar panels and wind turbines and electric vehicles and batteries, that's the path toward energy security. And that claim gets repeated so often that it's become almost reflexive. Yet if you sit down and you rationally examine the supply chains behind the technologies being promoted, the argument collapses under its own weight. The same dumbasses that are warning that oil markets are vulnerable to geopolitical disruptions, they're advocating an energy system that would make Western economies far more dependent on foreign adversaries than we are today. In other words, the Iranian crisis is not evidence that fossil fuels are the problem. I'm going to argue it is evidence that the climate movement either fundamentally misunderstands global supply chains or, as likely, is deliberately ignoring them. The central premise of the climate movement is that renewable energy technologies free societies from the geopolitical constraints of fossil fuels. Solar panels, wind turbines, EVs, they all get pictured as inherently liberating technologies that are going to reduce our dependence on foreign sources. That is completely misleading. Renewable energy infrastructure does not run on sunlight and wind alone. It runs on enormous amounts of raw materials. Solar panels require silicon. They require silver. They require specialty metals. Wind turbines depend on rare earth magnets. Electric vehicles and grid-scale batteries require lithium, cobalt, nickel, graphite, manganese, and a host of other minerals. All of those minerals have got to be mined, processed, refined, and then manufactured into finished products. And in the modern global economy, those steps are overwhelmingly concentrated where? Where? That's right, outside the United States and outside Europe. Now, China dominates the refining and processing of many of the minerals that underpin the renewable energy economy. In fact, the country processes the vast majority of the world's rare earth elements. Rare earth elements? Those are the materials that are indispensable for electric motors, wind turbines, all the advanced electronics. Rare earth elements are not rare in the Earth's crust, but the mining and the chemical separation required to produce them is incredibly complex, and it's environmentally destructive. Now, for that reason, the Western world spent decades shutting down domestic production while outsourcing that industry to crap hole countries abroad. So the result is that China now refines the overwhelming majority of these materials because they don't care about their environment. They don't care about their people. So that creates a supply chain dependency that has profound geopolitical implications. It is an inconvenient truth. At the center of the energy transition, the technologies being promoted as somehow a path toward independence are in reality built on a supply chain that is heavily concentrated in one of our, in fact, I would argue, our main geopolitical rival. You think about, when you think about the mineral commodities with a net import reliance on China, yttrium, mica, abrasives, bismuth, all sorts of abrasives, silicon carbide, rare earth compounds, antimony, arsenic, graphite, iron oxide, pigments, diamonds, magnesium, gallium, barite, mica, tungsten, all of those things. China. Think China. So what are we doing here? We're actually trading one dependency for another. Let me explain. I'll be right back.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-9871. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-9871. That's 800-575-9871. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Michael Brown, thanks for tuning in. Do me a favor and download the podcast. On your podcast app, search for The Situation with Michael Brown. The Situation with Michael Brown. Once you find that, hit that subscribe button, leave a five-star review, and then that will automatically download all 5 days of the weekday program and the weekend program, which means you get all 6 days of Michael Brown programming. What's the central premise of the climate movement, of the green energy, the renewable movement, of the Church of the Climate Activists? That renewable energy technologies are somehow going to free us from the geopolitical constraint of fossil fuels. Solar panels, wind turbines, EVs, they keep telling us, according to their gospel, that those are inherently liberating technologies that reduce dependence on foreign resources. That is complete. Well, I was going to say it's misleading. No, it's a lie. Renewable energy infrastructure does not run on sunlight and wind alone. It requires all of those renewables that we talked about. You think about all of those renewables. So what we're really doing in a nutshell is we're trading one dependency for another. The United States depends heavily on foreign sources for many of the materials required for modern technology, lithium for batteries, cobalt for energy storage systems, graphite for lithium ion cells, and all those rare earth elements for electric motors, those are largely sourced outside this country. And they often come from countries with unstable political systems, and clearly they have very weak, if any, environmental protections. I don't think that's a minor issue. These materials underpin not only renewable energy systems, but also semiconductors, defense systems, telecommunications infrastructure, advanced manufacturing, artificial intelligence. The more electrified and the more technologically complex the global economy becomes, the more important those minerals become. To put it a different way, the energy transition is not eliminating resource dependence. It is simply shifting the dependence from hydrocarbons to minerals. And the countries that dominate those mineral supply chains are not friendly democracies. The hypocrisy becomes even clearer when you think about the environmental rhetoric that always seems to accompany the push for renewable energy. All of the environmental activists in the Church of the Climate Activists will oppose mining projects in this country and in Europe. They'll file lawsuits, they demand moratoriums, they'll protest, and they argue that extracting minerals is too destructive for the environment. But at the very same time they're making those arguments, they're demanding massive increases in renewable energy infrastructure, which requires what? More of what they are protesting. Isn't the contradiction obvious? When Western countries block domestic mining while increasing the demand for those minerals that need to be mined, the environmental impacts do not disappear. They go somewhere else. So the Western world has effectively regulated resource extraction out of existence in this country, while continuing to increase the consumption of those very raw materials that they won't let us go mine. So the result is the production shifts to countries that have weaker environmental protections and far worse human rights records. The climate movement and the Church of the Climate Activists call that moral progress. In reality, what are they doing? They're outsourcing their environmentalism. And that's the strategic reality. The strategic implications of that kind of dependency are becoming increasingly difficult for them to ignore. Earlier this year, probably unbeknownst to most people, the United States launched something called Project Vault. Project Vault. That's an initiative to stockpile critical minerals so that we can protect our industries from supply chain disruptions for those minerals. I think that program, the program itself is essentially an admission that the United States has become dangerously dependent on foreign sources for the materials that power our modern technology and our modern economy. Now, according to federal data cited in Project Vault, the United States relies on imports for a majority of dozens of critical minerals. And in some cases, we are completely import dependent for several of them. So I think that stockpiling these materials might buy us time during a crisis. But does it solve the underlying problem? Not at all. Because you cannot store what you do not produce. Stockpiling materials without restoring our own domestic production, that just creates an illusion of security. Because anytime there is a true geopolitical crisis, the exporting nations, what are they going to do? They're going to do the same thing we would do. They're going to prioritize their own industries before they start supplying a foreign competitor. That reality is precisely why the current media narrative by the cabal surrounding the Iran conflict is so utterly absurd. If conflict in the Middle East exposes vulnerabilities in oil markets, imagine what would happen during a geopolitical confrontation with China. Why? I want you to seriously think about this. Because China dominates huge portions of the global supply chain for rare earth processing, battery materials, solar manufacturing, wind turbine components, and it also controls a significant share of the processing infrastructure for a whole host of other critical minerals. In that kind of scenario, export restrictions or supply chain disruptions would cripple entire industries in this country and probably in Europe too. Electric vehicles, they'd stall out. Renewable infrastructure projects, they'd come to a halt. Semiconductor manufacturing, shortages of key materials. And that's not speculation, because China has already demonstrated its willingness to use mineral exports as a geopolitical tool. How? Because they impose export restrictions on key materials that are used in advanced technologies. And yet, the very same policymakers in Congress, all the same activists, all the Congress and the Church of the Climate activists who warn about oil dependence are actively advocating policies that deepen our reliance on those foreign-based supply chains. Stop and just think for a second before I get to the lesson that I think they refuse to learn. Do you understand the lesson? Do you understand what we've done? It's like the driver driving his Tesla down. Now, I'm not saying every Tesla driver is this way. But the Tesla driver driving down the interstate, who boasts and is so happy and so proud of himself because he's driving emission-free. We know he's not. We just know that his emissions were moved to where the energy to power his battery, to charge his battery, is located someplace where he can't see it. The same thing's happening here. And they refuse to learn this lesson. I'll explain why next.
Keep it right here. You've got The Weekend with Michael Brown.
A Social Security update. 70 million Americans collect Social Security benefits today, and millions more will join soon. Now, a new study finds 70% of Americans don't get the full benefits they deserve. But recipients can use simple strategies to boost Social Security benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. Social Security expert Michael Allen says it's true and reveals five key strategies to increase your benefits. It's all in his free special report. Newsmax calls the report your best guide for bigger Social Security benefits. Whether you're getting benefits or soon will, you need the Social Security report. Get it free Call 800-999-9690. 800-999-9690. We'll text it to you right away, along with President Trump's act cutting your Social Security taxes. Call now, 800-999-9690. 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Marie Salas, owner of Healthwise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Maria Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Join Aaron and Bill for We the People Radio, Sundays, noon until 2.
It's conservative talk radio with a liberal dose of humor. Get the whole story from experts around the world delivering facts rather than opinion.
Missed a show? Busy at noon? No problem. Listen to our free archives when you have time. No commercial interruptions or download restrictions. We the People Radio.
.us.
Looking to grow your business locally? Get your message heard loud and clear on KCNR Radio, serving all of Shasta County. Whether you run a small business, a local service, or have an event that needs buzz, KCNR's trusted hosts and loyal audience can help your brand stand out. Affordable packages, custom ads, and a voice that delivers results. Advertise smart, advertise local, advertise with KCNR Radio. Visit KCNR1460.com or call 530-605-4565.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Reading. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Join us for a live jazz concert at Shasta College, March 27th at 7:30 p.m. Enjoy an evening of dynamic rhythms and classic jazz standards. Tickets are $15 general admission, $10 for seniors and wheelchair accessible, $5 for students with ID. For more information, go to shastacollege.edu/artsevents.
Weekday program, which airs live Monday through Friday from 9 to noon Mountain Time. 9 to noon Mountain Time. Got it? So go set that preset and stream us live during the weekday, too. We're talking about what, you know, I was debating today about whether to talk about the Iranian war and kind of what the status of it is, and it's moving over it very quickly. But I'm saving that for Monday. In fact, that's the reason, if you want to hear my take on where we are, what's happening, and what I think is going to happen, then you ought to tune in Monday. I decided to use the weekend instead to talk about these two. There's another story I'm going to do later about some unintended or intended consequences of the Iranian war, such as this. It's freaking hilarious how the Church of the Climate Activists are screaming about soaring gas prices, soaring, you know, whatever the, they don't know the difference between West Texas International or Brent International. They don't know different kinds of crude, Venezuelan oil. They don't know anything about that. They don't know anything about refining capacity. And the fact that refining capacity in this country is being demolished by their policies. What they want to scream about is gas prices going up. And, well, that's basic supply and demand right now. And you have to remember that oil is an international commodity. Yes, we are energy independent. And we literally cannot refine all of the oil that we produce. So that oil gets traded on the international market, and the international markets, because every country in the world uses oil and gas. They need it to sustain their economies, their way of living. So it gets traded on an international scale, an international market. It's an international commodity. So we cannot control the price of it. Even though we are energy independent today, we produce more oil than we consume. But even if we were to say, you know what, we're going to keep all the oil in this country, all the oil and liquid all the oil and natural gas that we produce, we're going to keep in this country, and we're going to become solely self-sufficient. Can't do it. You know why we can't do it? We don't have the refining capacity. You know why we don't have the refining capacity? Because we've let the people in the Church of the Climate Activists destroy the refining capacity that we have had. It's insane what we do. And there's so many lessons that the Church of the Climate Activists just refuse to learn. They operate on a narrative instead of a systems analysis. Fossil fuels get portrayed as they're uniquely dangerous and they're morally unacceptable, while renewable technologies get framed as inherently virtuous and geopolitically liberating. When did energy systems become moral abstractions? Because they're not. They are physical systems that get built from materials, infrastructure, and a global supply chain. Every single energy technology requires mining. Every supply chain has geopolitical implications. And every policy choice creates a trade-off. But the climate activists refuse to confront those realities because doing so would undermine the simplistic story they keep telling everybody. That story, fossil fuels are evil, renewable energies are not just the hero, but they're the moral hero. In the real world, it's a lot more complicated than that. If this crisis, I don't want to use the word crisis. If this battle, this war in Iran proves anything, it is that energy systems are inseparable from geopolitics. But the solution is not to replace one dependency with another dependency. Replacing domestic oil and gas production with technologies that are still dependent on foreign mineral supply chains does not increase our energy security at all. In fact, I would argue that replacing domestic oil and gas production with technologies that are dependent on foreign mineral supply chains undermines our energy security. And until these policymakers begin treating energy systems as the complex industrial networks that they really are, the climate movement is going to continue to propose solutions that create vulnerabilities that are far greater than the ones that they're claiming to solve. They're never going to move off that because they're absolutely convinced that, which is why they take such a moral position. I'm evil because I burn fossil fuels in my car. They're moral because they drive an EV. Wait a minute. How much petroleum products went into the manufacturing of your Tesla or your Prius or whatever you're using? I don't give a rat's ass which one you're using. Whichever one you're using, fossil fuels are what helped not just the materials that go into creating that vehicle, but in the manufacturing of that vehicle, the distribution of that vehicle, and even the charging of that vehicle. Unless you're just charging your vehicle solely at your home and you have a solar array on your home that is completely independent of the grid. But guess what? Even then, that system took fossil fuels to create, manufacture, distribute, and install in your home. They live in an alternate universe. They live in a universe that is not real. But that's why I call them the Church of the Climate Activists. Because they believe in their own gospel. They have their own faith. It's not based on even anything as reasonable or real as the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's all a fantasy land for them. And it's all designed to do what? To destroy your economy, make you more dependent upon government control, and limit your ability to live the life, and we're just too darn wealthy. Our economy in this country and our energy independence has made us too powerful, too strong, too independent of everybody else, and they want to weaken us. That is the theology of the Church of the Climate Activists. So all of this hypocrisy exposed by the conflict in Iran, I know it's, and I do, I feel sorry for people who are living paycheck to paycheck, and gas prices are soaring. And, you know, when gas prices soar, that causes grocery prices to soar. I know, I understand that. I sincerely believe, though, that in the long run, this is better for us than not doing anything. I'll be right back.
LifeLock, how can I help?
The IRS said I
filed my return,
but I haven't.
1 in 4 tax-paying Americans has paid the price of identity fraud.
What do I do?
My refund, though.
I'm freaking out.
Don't worry, I can fix this.
LifeLock fixes identity theft guaranteed and gets your money back with up to $3 million in coverage.
I'm so relieved.
No problem. I'll be with you every step of the way.
1 in 4 was a fraud-paying American. Not anymore. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Hear ye, good folk. You are cordially invited to the Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May 23rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, May 24th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Anderson Fairgrounds at 1890 Briggs Street. Watch knights fight for their honor in armored combat. Enjoy lively Celtic and folk music. Feast like royalty and shop handcrafted treasures from artisans far and wide. Tickets are just $17 for adults, $15 for youth 11 to 17, and kids 10 and under get in free. Get yours now at Eventbrite and skip the lines. The Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May 23rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, May 24th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Anderson Fairgrounds. Huzzah!
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Welcome back to Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I appreciate you tuning in. The Supreme Court is likely to stop judicial interference with DHS decisions ending temporary protective status. I think so. Earlier this week, the Supreme Court agreed to take up two cases, Southern District of New York and from the District of Columbia, without waiting for either Circuit Court of Appeal to even review those cases on the merits. Both of the cases involve orders that grant a preliminary injunction blocking the Department of Homeland Security from ending temporary protected status for illegal aliens in the United States from Syria and Haiti. Now, there's been a series of decisions in various courts involving other countries that kind of provide, I think, a guide as to where this issue might be headed with the Supreme Court. The first out of the gate was a case in California that originally involved Venezuela and Haiti. Now, the Department of Justice pursued an appeal of the ruling regarding Venezuela, but waited to address Haiti in a different court, and that ended up being in D.C. The Supreme Court has now twice stepped in and issued stays. In other words, they stopped the enforcement of a lower court order. They did so to a district judge in San Francisco that would have extended temporary protected status for Venezuela. But each order granting the stay had no explanation from the court about the reasons. So that's allowed all these lower courts to effectively ignore what the Supreme Court did about Venezuelan temporary protected status. So DHS moved to stop temporary protected status for Honduras, Nicaragua, and Nepal. And the Ninth Circuit blocked the lower court orders trying to continue temporary protected status after the Supreme Court stay stopping it for Venezuela. In addition, the Fourth Circuit blocked district court orders continuing temporary protected status with regard to Cameroon and Afghanistan. It's insane, all these differences, isn't it? But the Second Circuit and the D.C. Circuit, both of those appellate courts allowed the district court orders to continue temporary protected status for Syria and Haiti for those orders to stop it to take effect. So that led the DOJ to file applications for stays in each case while the cases were pending appeal on those two counts. In every application, the Department of Justice asked the Supreme Court to consider the stay of applications as petitions for review prior to judgment. In other words, asking them, let's not wait on the appellate courts. This is creating different decisions all over the country. Let's decide it now. So, in summary, five things have happened. The Supreme Court blocked a district court order that allowed the extension of temporary protected status for Venezuela after the Ninth Circuit said it could continue. Two, the Ninth Circuit blocked a district court order that extended temporary protected status for Honduras, Nicaragua, and Nepal, even after the Supreme Court stayed the order for Venezuela. Three, the Fourth Circuit blocks a district judge ordering extending temporary protected status for Cameroon and Afghanistan. Four, see, I can't see how stupid this is. The Second Circuit then allows a district court order to stand that continued temporary protected status for Syria while the Department of Justice appeals. Then lastly, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals allowed a district court order to stand that continued, kept in place, temporary protected status for Haiti while the DOJ appealed. So it's with respect to those last two that the Department of Justice has convinced the Supreme Court to take the cases up just to put the issue to rest about temporary protected status. But what is crucial are the issues that the Department of Justice has suggested that the court ought to look at. With regard to Syria, the DOJ said this, that if the court grants a hearing or grants cert before judgment, they should review the following questions. Whether the judicial review bar in the temporary protective status statute prevents the respondent's Administrative Procedure Act claims, and if that is reviewable, whether those claims nonetheless fail on the merits. And sort of the same thing with regard to the cases on in the other circuit. But I want you to note that the court did not specify precisely what issues it would consider, as is typical when it accepts a case to review. So my presumption is the issues will be those identified by the Department of Justice in their applications for review. Here's why this is important. The court has twice, the Supreme Court, has twice granted stays with regard to the orders by the San Francisco judge that was going to allow the temporary protected status for Venezuela to continue. You see, what we're trying to do here, what the administration is trying to do, is to rein in all this temporary protected status. They're trying to get rid of it so they can deport these people. The court is basically saying, yeah, we're all over the place on this, so we're going to hear these cases before any of the other judges appeal to, or any of the other parties appeal to any of the appellate courts and wait for those to finally get to us. We're going to take these two cases, and in essence, I believe they're going to decide the case for all temporary protected status. Given that they have allowed the termination of temporary protected status for Venezuela to go into effect, in other words, stopping it by blocking the judge in San Francisco, it seems likely to me that the court is going to resolve this issue on the basis of the district courts not having jurisdiction. Why is that important? Because for all of these judges, who, whether it's an immigration, whatever, it doesn't make any difference. All of these judges who are taking it upon themselves to insert themselves into these issues that clearly the executive branch has the authority to operate, the court's saying, we're not sure, so we're going to take this case out of San Francisco because there they terminated temporary protected status for Venezuela. The judge blocked it, meaning that the Venezuelans could keep temporary protected status, and the court said, we're not going to wait for that to be heard by the Ninth Circuit. We're going to hear that ourselves. In all of these cases, the argument that every plaintiff made in common is that the decision by the Secretary of Homeland Security to terminate temporary protected status was all made in violation of the Administrative Procedures Act. In other words, there was some procedural mistake that the government made, and that therefore that bars the government decisions as being arbitrary and capricious. I think the court's about ready to hammer down these district court judges and say, no, you cannot do that anymore. You've got to stop doing that. In both cases involving Syria and Haiti, the New York and the D.C. cases, the district judges followed down the path that was the same path that the judge in San Francisco was following. I think that's why they took the case, because that's the case they can use to decide, wait a minute, you have no authority to be doing this. Finally, maybe just finally, we're going to get a Supreme Court decision that is going to say, wait a minute, you cannot do this. Now, I expect the outcome will be 6-3. I think with Justice Barrett writing a very narrow majority opinion that only addresses the scope of the jurisdiction stripping provision in the temporary protected status statute, reversing all the lower court decisions that rely on a distinction between determination and process to claim jurisdiction. I hope so. We've got to rein in these federal judges. I think the Supreme Court may do it here. I'll be right back.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
So my friends over at Pure Talk have been sending me customer feedback from ConsumerAffairs.com, where thousands of people rate and review the top wireless providers. Here, for instance, is a nice note from James in Raleigh, North Carolina, who writes, quote, after hearing Mike Rowe's ad, we made the switch to Pure Talk, and we couldn't be happier. We went from spending $1,200 a year with T-Mobile to $420 with Pure Talk. Thanks, Mike. Switch today! Exclamation point. Pure Talk is saving James $820 a year. And because he literally wrote the words, switch today, in capital letters, with an exclamation point, I'm going to go ahead and dedicate this commercial to him. So folks, take it from James in Raleigh, North Carolina. Pure Talk can give you unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $25 a month on the same 5G service the big guys are overcharging you for. Just dial #250, say Mike Rowe. You'll also save 50% off your first month. That's #250 to save an additional 50%. Thanks, James.
Ready? Online marketing. Winning online.
When you search for your business on Google, where do you show up? Page 2? Page 3? Nowhere at all? Meanwhile, your competitors are getting those calls. You need Reading Online Marketing. Since 2010, Reading Online Marketing has been helping local businesses rank on Google, get found by customers, and win online. Need a website? We build it.
Need digital ads that actually work? We manage them. Want to rank higher on Google and grow your social media? We handle it all. Here's the big difference. We know the Reading market. We know exactly what it takes to outrank your competition and get you found first. We'll show you where you stand and what it'll take to win. ReadingOnlineMarketing.com or call 530-378-4060 for your free evaluation.
Reading Online Marketing. Winning online.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.